as Glenys reads this, see if you can pick up some of the themes I've already mentioned this morning. So have a good listen, and I'll see if you pick them up at the end.
The Bible reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25, going on to chapter 5, up to verse 2. No more lying, then. Each of you must tell the truth to one another, because we are all members together in the body of Christ. If you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin, and do not stay angry all day. Don't give the devil a chance. Those who used to rob must stop robbing and start working in order to earn an honest living for themselves and to be able to help the poor. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say would do good to those who hear you. And do not make God's Holy Spirit sad, for the Spirit is God's mark of ownership on you, a guarantee that the day will come when God will set you free. Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ. Since you are God's dear children, you must try to be like him. Your life must be controlled by love, just as Christ loved us and gave his love for us as a sweet-smelling offering and a sacrifice that pleases God. Amen.
Amen. So, did you pick up any of the themes we've mentioned already this morning? We were getting a list of things not to be like, and instead to be like. Forgiving,
understanding,
patient, yes,
loving.
Don't become angry, because anger leads into sin. And we're saying about being like God. God has forgiven us through Christ, so therefore we should forgive others. Getting rid of all bitterness and passion. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings. But be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving, as we said. So that's not easy, is it? No. So that's what we're aiming for. And we've just got to keep on going. We're going to fail. I know I fail many times. But we also know that God is patient with us. He's forgiving of us. And he's going to give us a second chance. But we've got to play our bit. We've got to try harder each time to try and keep all these good qualities that God wants us to keep. Mark.
You can hear me. Oh, now you're booming. Now I'm booming. So we've heard already a little bit about we need to try and be like God. Be like Jesus. Be like the Holy Spirit might want us to be in the world today. But does that mean that we have to look like Jesus? Well, beard wouldn't suit you, Rosemary. Would it not? Oh, right, okay. So what does it mean to be like Jesus if it's not looking like Jesus? But surely we have to look like Jesus in one way, in one sense, that perhaps people look at us, they might say, oh, look, that person looks like Jesus, acts like Jesus, behaves like Jesus, loves like Jesus, is patient like Jesus. A few years ago now, some people did a project saying, well, what did Jesus look like? So Tom's got a few pictures which he's going to show on the screen, but I'm also going to show a few around and pass tables to have a look. I'd like you just to have a look at the different pictures, and they are images of how people have thought Jesus might have looked like, but they're also not just like, but culturally based. So let me pass some around. Hang on. We'll ask people what they think. And Tom's putting some other ones up on the screen, which are the selection from different types that come there. Oh, Christine's missed out on the board, so I'll give her a couple. She can have some on her own. Favoured this morning. So I wonder what you think. Anybody want to say anything about one of the images that they've got on their table?
Most of these images show Christ with a beard, but in fact the earliest images of Christ actually show him clean-shaven.
Interesting. Did Jesus have a beard or not? You know, Rosemary was saying she couldn't look like Jesus because she hasn't got a beard, but... Anybody else want to say something about one of the images that they've got?
I'll pass it around.
Yes.
Go on, say something. It's a female form.
It's a female one, yes. Yeah. That provoked quite a response when that was done. It's a wood carving of in a church in America where Jesus is shown on the cross as being a woman. I'll have to look it up. Hang on.
What number is this? What number?
30. So it's called Christa, and it says, Edwina Sandys, the granddaughter of Winston Churchill, made this sculpture in 1974 for the United Nations Decade for Women. She says, Christa represents the oppressed and devoured women of our jails and prisons, any woman forgotten, hidden, abused, or thrown away, the suffering woman in all of us. In 1984, towards the end of Lent, Christa was exhibited in the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, New York. To open our eyes and hearts to the presence of the feminine in the Judeo-Christian tradition and show the power and vulnerability of the Christ within each of us. Although some describe this bronze sculpture as desecration, the Bishop of New York saw the work as a celebration of the extraordinary contribution women have made to the devotional life of the church. So that was that one. What else? Anybody else got? You've got one there, Mercedes. Do you want to hold that one up? Show people what's that one look like?
An angry person.
A very angry person. Do you think that might be what Jesus might have looked like when he went into the temple and turned the tables over, I think, perhaps, don't you? Jesus looking angry. That's to cope with, isn't it? Because we normally like, a lot of our words, it doesn't say anything about God being angry up there, does it? None of our words have talked about God being angry, and yet there is something there, some aspect of Jesus being angry, getting upset when things aren't right. And there's lots of things that aren't right in the world, aren't there? Anybody else got another one that they'd like to say something about?
Jesus laughing. Yeah.
Look at that. Jesus laughing. Again, that's completely different, isn't it? Completely different. It's about Jesus laughing. Yes, yeah. You can have a good look through and pick out some of the jokes, but and the way in which he spoke to people was partly teasing or, you know, challenged by the way in which he spoke. Yeah. Abraham and Sarah, when Abraham was told that Sarah's going to have a child, would be a classic one. Sarah laughs, and God says, "Why does Sarah laugh? Well, I'm 99 years old, and I don't fancy having a baby." Whatever it was. 90 years old, and I don't fancy having a baby. So you do get it occasionally, but we don't think that, you know, part of the faith is that Jesus was like us. Shared our emotions, shared our feelings. So some of us get angry at times, some of us more than others. Some of us laugh, some of us cry. Jesus experienced all the emotions, feelings, sensations that we experience. So is this us imitating Jesus? Jesus imitating us? Us imitating Jesus again? I wonder what our reading is really about this morning, of being like Jesus. Perhaps we need to be more angry with things. Perhaps we need to laugh more. Perhaps we need to challenge our understanding, because, as you say, we've got the female Christ, we've got all sorts of different pictures. So, we've done something on smells, and that was based on part of the verse that we read from Ephesians, which said something. No? What did it say? Something about fragrance? Has somebody got it to hand? Can you remember what it was? Be a sweet, fragrant offering, or something like that. Well, when it comes to being like Jesus, there's another verse in the Bible as well that says we're supposed to smell. Do any of you smell this morning? Through your nose. There's another verse in Corinthians which talks about the fact that wherever we go, we're supposed to smell. Did you know that? Now, how do you think we're supposed to smell? Do you think we're supposed to smell yucky or nice? Have a look.
Nice.
Well, in Corinthians, second book of Corinthians, second letter to Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14 to 16, it says, "In Christ, God leads us from place to place to one perpetual victory parade. Through us, he brings knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance." So it says everywhere we go, people are supposed to be breathing in the fragrance of Jesus. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way of salvation. An aroma redolent, full of life. Full of life. So wherever we go, we're supposed to smell like Jesus to the people around us. Which means that, why do you think it might be an idea to smell like Jesus? Why do you think it might be an idea to smell like Jesus? What do you do? Go on.
Because he smells nice.
Because he smells nice. That's a wonderful answer, isn't it? Brilliant, yes. Yeah, that could be it, because he smells like... But what happens when you smell something? Do you just go, oh? Don't you? If it's a really nice smell, you're attracted to it, aren't you? Like some of these flowers, some nice flowers, attracted by the smell. So you go and investigate further. You go and find out what's causing the smell. Equally, sometimes if you've got a really nasty smell around, that's another reason to go and investigate, isn't it? particularly with certain toilet systems and things like that, sometimes you need to investigate to find out what the problem is, and the smell alerts you to the problem. We're supposed to be a good smell. Smelling nice, that means that people come to us to say, what's that smell about you? Or what is it about you that's attractive? What is it that's drawing me to you? Why are you smelling like you are? So as you go out and around this week, don't worry if somebody comes up to you and say, oh, you smell. Because you're meant to. You're meant to smell like Jesus, look like Jesus, and act like Jesus in the world around us. We're